If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings on the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is Creating Conscious Multidimensional Experiences. So take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the light of your divine presence. And allow the Most Radiant One, that is to say the Christ, to clothe you with a mantle of golden white light. To see it as pure white light with so white it's clear with golden flecks. Just see it come down over your whole auric field so that you're filled, surrounded, and protected by the light of the highest divine presence that we know of, which is the Lord Jesus the Christ. And this evening we're going to be having a really, really wonderful experience aboard ship. And we're going to be exploring all of the many ways that we can create for ourselves the conscious experience of our multidimensional levels. In fact, to put it very simply, every single time you shift your focus of awareness, you enter into another realm of consciousness. Every time you shift your focus, you enter another realm. And the trick is to be aware that you're doing that. You see, most people become entrapped in their moods. They allow their environment or people in their environment or just the things happening around them to affect how they feel. And they get into moods, and then they don't have any idea how to shift out of that mood. But it's so simple. Once you realize that you are in charge of where you direct your consciousness, you, the soul, the spirit indwelling your mind-body complex, are able to consciously decide what your experience is going to be in any given moment. You're in complete charge of that. And be aware that all states of consciousness exist within you. That means every experience you've ever had throughout your entire existence, from the very moment you emerged from the mind heart of God, every little experience is recorded in your energy field. It's actually contained in every drop of your blood. It's impressed in every single cell of your body. And it's recorded in the permanent atoms of your physical body, your astral body, your mental body, and your soul or spirit body. You have a permanent repository for everything you've ever experienced. And you can learn how to tap into that. There's a whole treasure trove of experience and knowledge that you can tap into. In fact, sometimes this knowledge comes up as what you call deja vu. Sometimes it's reflected in dreams or visions or out-of-body experiences. But you can also directly and consciously activate these states and move in and out of them at will. That's what it means to be a spiritual traveler, one who can take the consciousness keys multidimensionally and open the different dimensional apertures in consciousness and transcend each state into the next higher one. That's called soul transcendence. And that's what a spiritual traveler is able to do. And if you're a student of a spiritual traveler, that is what they teach you to do. And it's work that's taught to you largely at an unconscious level. That may seem like an oxymoron here, but it's not really. The spiritual traveler consciousness works with you 24/7. It never stops working with you. I know many of you are conscious students of the traveler, as I am as well. And that means that the work goes on inside through the process of the inner master, which we could call the Holy Spirit. The inner master, the inner traveler, works with you through all the moments of your day and night, assisting you to awaken within your own levels and to be more consciously aware of yourself and more consciously able to direct yourself rather than constantly reacting to your environment. You're able to be proactive in directing yourself into those states that work for you, that produce greater health and wealth and awareness and happiness and all the good things that come from being spirit-filled. You have that greater fullness of life. So your entire mind, body, spirit system is a vast electrical relay system through which the cosmos and everything that exists within it is continually conveying information. And as we move collectively, as the human kingdom, as we move into this new cycle of Aquarian energy, which is the air element, gradually, humanity will transition from dependence upon outer technology into the technology of consciousness, which is literally unlimited. It will be a technology of light, and the understanding of light and sound is the basis of all, everything in creation. And that will be the basis of everything, of our new medical field, of our commerce, of our communications, one with each other. We won't be dependent upon these little cell phones and text messaging and even the computers that we have. Everything will be created like we have it aboard ship, through consciousness itself. And we won't need the outer technological form to harness and organize and manifest the light and sound that we want to enter into. We will be able to externalize the interior states of consciousness into non-material manifestation. And that's really our next step, not only in the seventh day that we're entering into, in terms of the Mayan calendar, but from 2012 onward, we will increasingly be moving consciously into a less material form of life, less tangible, still equally experiential and real, but more ethereal than we have had before. So consciousness, the word consciousness, is simply another term for light or soul or spirit. And awareness is what we're conscious of. So with this as a sort of preamble, I would like now to take you, you've all been invited tonight, and every single one of you has been invited to go aboard ship for the balance of this seminar. And so this is going to be a conscious experience of moving your spiritual inner awareness to another place and state of consciousness, and to experience that more consciously. So if you want to be conscious, try to stay awake. Because you go up all the time on the ships, but when you fall asleep, you're not consciously aware of that. Unless you've been trained through many years of soul travel. And even then, very often you fall asleep because the energies are so strong, they just kind of tend to put you out. So set your intention that you're going to stay conscious and present and enjoy the experience. And it's very simple. You're just going to shift your awareness. So take a deep breath and place yourself aboard Ashtar's ship. Just see yourself there, imagine yourself there, put yourself there with your conscious intention. That's right. There. Good. You're coming on. Very good. Now feel under your feet the soft, spongy kind of resiliency that our floors have. It's almost like almost like a rubber carpet under your feet, but it gives with each step, and it has a way of energizing you just simply walking on the surface of the ship. And you'll see before you something that looks like a stargate, like in the TV series, Stargate. It looks kind of like that. And each one of you is going to pass under that. And as you do, you're going to experience the most wonderful, rejuvenating, energetic shower you've ever had in your life. As you stand under the Stargate, go ahead and move under it now. Don't worry about standing in line. When you move under it, you're under it. We don't have to have any kind of limitations here aboard ship. So move under the archway. And first of all, this cleanses your entire auric field. All of your soul bodies are cleansed and given a tune-up energetically. We also are doing a scan. If you have any potential miasmas in the body that could give rise to some disease condition, we can move that right out of your auric field. It's very simple. And so the energies are so positive and so spiritually pure that it will return your body to what we would call harmonic resonance, so that everything in your body vibrates and operates the way it needs to. So just stand under that now and allow it to just irradiate your whole body with living light and the beautiful rejuvenation energies that come from the higher divine worlds that have not been subjective to the fall. And now, if you will follow me, yeah, I know I'm a little taller there, certainly more slender and more stately, and yeah, that's me. I have my hair up in a long gown, as many of our ladies wear when they are entertaining and meeting visitors from other worlds. We wear long, beautiful gowns, and follow me down the hallway, and as you pass the different cubicles, which are residential quarters, you will see your name on your door. So go on and find the name on your door to your personal quarters, and when you stand in front of it, it will recognize you and open up to you. Kind of opens like the eye of a camera, just sort of, you know, the walls just kind of open for you, and walk into your quarters. You will notice that there's a great efficiency and economy of how things are arranged in your room. They tend to appear up out of the floor or out of the wall as they're needed. So otherwise, you have an unencumbered, uncluttered environment. You will notice there is something like a lounge chair that is positioned in front of what appears to be a form of, kind of like a viewing lens. It's not as boxed in as your television or your computer. Again, it's more of a hologram that appears in that space in front of you as you wish it. And that's where we can look at anything, anywhere, at any time that we wish. We simply align our consciousness with what it is we want to receive or look into, and it begins to manifest for us. Otherwise, you can, with a wave of your hand, make your whole wall by the area that's usually where your bed is. If you want your bed, it will appear. And you can look out the side of your ship, which is opaque, and you can see right out into the galaxy as we travel, which is one of the things I personally enjoy the most about our ships. Now, your consciousness tonight is going to be receiving a releasing of information and light codes that will be preparing your consciousness for 2012, because each of us will be taking on a new, not only a new sense of self, but a new sense of the world in which we live. So we're entering into a new state of consciousness and being that will require some tools and things to be activated so that they come up and are present with us as we need them. So you don't have to worry about that. Everything that you need will present through your consciousness at the moment that it's needed. Now, if you look to your right, you will see that there is a very beautiful garment that is there for you. You ladies will find a very beautiful gown. You gentlemen will find a very wonderful suit. And I want you to go and pick it up. I know it's as light as a feather. Our materials on our planet are there is no way to describe them. But though they look quite substantial, they're as light as a feather. So go into your dressing room area and put on your garment. And as you do, you will notice that a viewing lens appears before you so that you can examine what you look like at that level. Your molecules have been shifted to a replica of how you look aboard ship, which is quite youthful and beautiful, handsome, beautiful proportions, your natural form, how you look at this level, is what you will see in the mirror. And it might be quite different from your physical form, so don't let that worry you. And don't let it shock you if you don't know the person in the mirror. Enjoy it. And imprint that upon your mind, because it's a beautiful vision to hold. Now, as you come out of your quarters, you will follow me again down the hall, and we're going into a large and very beautiful ballroom. And there you will find very beautiful places to sit, recline, just make yourself comfortable. And yes, that's quite breathtaking, isn't it? Not only are all the walls see-through to where you can see the whole galaxy, you feel like you're in a bubble, a translucent bubble out in the middle of the vast starry vastness of space. It's beautiful, isn't it? I never tire of looking out in the vastness and beauty of God's creation. And you'll notice that there's men and women that are moving about, and they have trays of refreshments for you. And there are crystal goblets that each is being offered. And in the crystal goblet is a viscous nectarine type of clear liquid, which looks like water until you take a sip of it. And then it's like a nectar, flower, sweet. I don't know how to describe it, except that it smells like flowers and perfume, and it has the most delicious taste you've ever tasted, and it's called Amrita, which, yes, it's the nectar of the gods, quite literally. If any of you have ever tasted Satya Sai Baba's Amrita, it tastes exactly like that. So I know where he gets his Amrita. It's from Ashtar's ship. So you're all looking so very lovely with your crystal goblets and drinking your nectar. And the beautiful men and women that you see around you are all human. They look like maybe they have just come out of the, maybe the Miss America pageant or the Mr. Muscle Beach. I mean, they're just the most beautiful men and women you've ever seen. No one looks older than about 25, 30 years old. Everyone is just in the peak of their youth and their beauty, even though many of these people are hundreds and hundreds of years old. So that's what you have to look forward to as you move into your multidimensional state of consciousness, and you have graduated from your Earth mission. You'll be returning to this wonderful state, and you'll be able to enjoy what you probably are revisiting, in some cases, maybe for the first time. So now you're going to have a treat. Everything being made of light and sound from God is also enjoyed by all beings everywhere as light and sound, as movement. Spirit is movement. Spirit is light. Spirit is divine harmonics. So, of course, when we party, whether we're on Earth or aboard ship, we will have beautiful music and beautiful movement and beautiful forms of entertainment that only the things on Earth very grossly replicate. So, as you begin to hear this divine music, and bear in mind that our science of harmonics is all about awakening consciousness. So as each sound of music resonates throughout your neurological system, throughout your brain, throughout your light bodies, it is like a sound massage entering into the very pores of your being. And awakening beauty, awakening awareness, awakening your own latent divinity and calling it forth to the purest, most beautiful notes of music you can imagine. Now, as the music plays, all five senses are engaged, so be aware of that. The musical notes produce all different alternating visual color patterns that you will see flowing throughout the room. Each one of you will see in a way that's the best possible light and sound tapestry and color presentation that you personally need for your optimum healing, balancing, health, and well-being. So that's where each of your individual perceptions will be quite unique. The musical notes also produce scents so that you will have a beautiful sense of fragrance that accompanies these different notes. The sensation is so pleasurable, the only thing I can liken it to would be, it's almost orgasmic in the sense that the pleasure rises up throughout all the cells of your body, but it involves the entire body. It's not localized, and it's not sensual per se, and yet it's like the quintessential pleasure. This is how we enjoy music. Now you will see the men and women are moving out upon the dance floor, and those of you that want to can do the same. And they look like they're in their own world doing free-form dancing. That's the way we dance. We dance with God in spirit. So as we're filled by the divine spirit, we allow that spirit, the divine spirit that we are, to dance through us. So release your inner ballerina, your inner dancer, and just allow the music to be embodied through your form as you move ever so gracefully. It's like you're the lightest, lightest being. Your feet just barely touch the floor. And again, when they do, that floor is so resilient, it just sort of bounces you up, sort of just gives you that spring in your step. So move to the music and look at the different colors as they change, alternate. Look at all the beautiful women and men from the Ashtar Command that are all around you. This evening we have representatives from Jupiter, Venus, Saturn, Mars, the Alpha Centauri system, few Arcturians, have different beings, and of course very many Venusians, because that's where most of us call home. Now the dancing also produces the most intense transcendental states. A sensation, how can I describe it? As if your body has become a living symphony. Each nerve is vibrating with the notes, as if your body was a stringed instrument being played by a million angels. As you allow this caressing of sound to work through your different energy systems of your body, your chakra systems, your endocrine systems, your neurological systems. Again, everything is being brought up to a harmonic perfection within your body, mind, spirit instrument, so that you have a sonic tune-up, as it were. You're going to feel so good. So refreshed, so regenerated, so wonderful. You're going to want to do this Venusian dancing and go to these Venusian concerts all the time. So let's say that you have a standing invitation. Anytime you want to come and enjoy what we have here, if you can see yourself here, then you can be here. It's just that simple. You just move your spiritual inner awareness right up to where you are right now and enjoy. So you can continue dancing, or you can recline in one of those very comfortable lounge chairs, or you can recline on a couch, chaise lounge. Or you can have some more of that wonderful Amrita to drink. And we're going to continue the rest of our seminar, which will be informational, entirely aboard ship tonight. When we're completed, you will be returned very safely to your physical form in the location in which you dwell on Earth. Whenever you wish, you can return. Or, if you want to remain for the whole evening with us, then, upon your awakening in the morning, you will find yourself in your customary place that you sleep. Whatever your preference is, we are here to be of service to you, in any way that we can be, and to facilitate your optimum experience of your divinity and your full awakening to your full potential. That's our entire focus with you. I would point something out to you that's very important. And you can practice this also at home. Get used to projecting just in front of you holographic scenic vistas of the places that you would like to see and experience. We don't have confined television or confined movies, but we have holographic images that appear in the space of a room. Sometimes we take turns projecting. Sometimes we corporately agree on something we want to have. Say, for example, we want to explore the beautiful canyons and valleys and mountains of Venus. Then we would mutually agree that we would co-facilitate that holographic scenic presentation. And it would take form in the center of the room. Now, if we wanted to, we could enter into that. That's been replicated somewhat in your Star Trek series called the Holodeck. But again, ours is not so mechanical and contrived. It's more a manifestation of our joy and our mutual agreement of what we would like to experience together. When we decide what we want to look at, we can enter into it. When we do that, there's always someone that stays outside to safeguard that we don't get lost in the hologram. Because just like you folks upon Earth, if you get caught up in your experience, you can lose yourself in that. And then it takes a while to come to your senses or to awaken and return. So likewise, sometimes the hologram is so delightful to enter into that we forget everything else and we get caught up in that. I think the Buddhists would call that the bardo. That's just like the bardos. You get caught up in states of consciousness, and then you need somebody who's not caught up in that state of consciousness to come and rescue you, which is exactly what Jesus did when you fell into the trance of separation from God. He was one that didn't forget that he was always in the presence of the Father, so he had to come and enter your nightmare, in this case, and waken you up and say, you know what? You've never left the heart of God, and there's a party awaiting your return. Come, there's a place prepared for you. So, likewise, as you enter into the holograms, you will always have someone that stays outside to watch out for you so you don't get caught up in that forever. Remember, everything is birthed out of your consciousness. And the more multidimensionally you become aware and master these levels, the more you can be anywhere, at any time, at will. And then you have transcended this flesh-based, third-dimensional world that keeps you entrapped in time, positioned between a birth and a death. You will transcend those levels entirely as you move into the immortal self, the transcendental self, the spiritual self. You will leave behind the kind of world experience that you've had up until now of linear time and a birth and a death and an entrapment and confinement by time. You will have transcended that. So that's another wonderful, wonderful thing for you to contemplate and have fun with experiencing. Now, the Earth is becoming something quite wonderful. It's been a population one world, which means it's been under a quarantine, which keeps it isolated unto itself. It hasn't been allowed to be introduced to its fellow sister brother worlds that are around it. Earth is gradually preparing to become a population 2 planetary system, which means it will be awakened and able to have conscious interaction and communication with its, again, its brother and sister worlds. So that is what Earth is being prepared for. And, of course, for that to happen, there has to be a consciousness shift from the warring animosity lower self that is intent upon harming. That harmful intent has to be removed, which it is being divinely removed through grace. And then when Earth loses that warring tendency, it will be invited to be introduced. You know, it's like a coming out party for the Earth. So Earth will open its doors eventually and ultimately as an interplanetary university of multidimensional consciousness. The human is the only species so far, at least in the solar system, designed as a full-spectrum analyzer. What does that mean? A full-spectrum analyzer means that the human being is capable of operating and manifesting any conceivable brainwave frequency consciousness pattern that exists, from the very, very lowest and basest to the most transcendentally exalted and divine, and everything in between. So that's what makes the human being extremely unique and interesting, and the human life so precious and important in terms of the overall divine plan. So that means that a certain portion of the current population on Earth, such as you folks, must already be operating at a conscious level multidimensionally. Now, all of you that are listening tonight have some familiarity with multidimensional states, although you may not have identified them in that way. You've all had and are having these experiences because, like I said before, the traveler consciousness has been training you for a long, long time. And the proof of that is that you are drawn to listen to these seminars, particularly those of you that listen all the time or are devoted to really going into this information and practicing it. You would be students of the travelers, which is a lineage that has originated and come down through the lineage of John the Beloved and the Lord Jesus the Christ. It's a lineage, and it has been in existence forever and always. It's a multidimensional, interplanetary, universal, and cosmic lineage of teachers that teach this particular process of conscious soul transcendental awareness. So if you're part of this lineage, which you would be or you wouldn't be listening, these individuals are working, you are working 24/7 multidimensionally because you're involved in training more and more people to awaken to their own multidimensionality. Even though you don't language it that way or think of it that way, what do you think you're doing when suddenly in the middle of the day you find yourself so sleepy you can't keep your eyes open? Did you ever think you might be called out of your body to work at another level? Hello? Are those days when you're so groggy you just can't quite get it together? And you're fortunate if you don't have to go to work, because then you can just allow yourself to be of service multidimensionally. So there are many, many ways that we are working with people, some of them conscious, some of them in the sleep state, and some of them just as you move your aura throughout the world and interact with people in all the daily activities, you are energetically vibing this new consciousness into wherever you go. You're emanating, you're transmitting, you're radiating this higher level of consciousness, which is training at a very subliminal and cellular level all the people that you interact with, everybody. So begin to look at your life as being constantly on mission assignment. So the very first step in awakening to your own multidimensionality more consciously is when you recognize you are more than your physical body. Next is to learn that energy always follows thought. Your thoughts are what direct your physical body, not the other way around. Your thoughts are what direct your physical body to act and to move. The body of itself is insentient, which means it has no capability of feeling. What makes your body have sensations? It is the nervous system through which the soul, the atmic energy, radiates as a golden, like a golden mist, a golden fog, a golden higher dimensional form of etheric gas, moves down to your physical neurological system, your brain, and transmits feeling in your body. That's what you associate with being your body. But if you withdraw yourself from your body, like in the case of when something goes to sleep, like your arm or your leg goes to sleep, that's because a portion of your spirit has withdrawn itself from that body. When you're given anesthesia, for example, in the hospital setting, you consciously withdraw from your body. That's why you don't feel your body when they operate on it. So that's why you feel your body. So your body by itself really shouldn't feel anything. It shouldn't have any kind of feeling, because you're not your body. You're not even in your body, but you are operating as a consciousness energy through the instrument of the body. Just like electricity is going to work through the instrumentality of your appliances. Your body is your earth appliance, which is one way we could look at it. And the next thing is that you become aware that you exist, that you are existence itself, not where your body is, but rather where your mind is focused. And here we're going to be using mind in the same way that we would use the word consciousness. Consciousness, mind, same thing in the way we're talking here. We're not talking about your lower ego mind. We're talking about your divine Christ mind. So wherever that mind is focused, or wherever you're focused, period, Christ mind or lower mind, you will be there where your focus is, not where your body is parked. This is why you lose all sense of your body and surroundings when you're wholly absorbed in a good book or a movie, or you're caught up in a engaging daydream or a night dream or a state of meditation. You lose all sense of your body and your surroundings. In fact, if somebody comes into the room and calls your name suddenly, you tend to jump. You go into startle reflex because you're not there. You're in another level. So these are common experiences that everyone can relate to having had. In fact, all training in meditation, I think without exception, is simply for the purpose of cultivating sustained focus of attention. And a sustained focus enables that shift of conscious awareness to occur. That's why all of the training, you focus on a mantra or a candle flame or an image or something that represents to you the divine, and then your mind holds steady in that whatever it is you're focusing on, and your consciousness then can bypass the lower mind and go into the higher consciousness. That's the purpose of it. And then as individuals, we are created through living sound. We are the living word of God and the living light of God, manifesting as a unique divine design. I've often said that there in all of existence is not another exact you. You're as unique as a snowflake. So we were each spoken into existence by the Creator, as his living word. That's our spirit, our I am presence, our God presence. And then the living light, and that's our Christ consciousness, our soul. And our physical body is the divine design, which is then extended through time and space onto this planet, or wherever you happen to be. Therefore, most of our rudimentary attempts to alter our state of consciousness invariably involve some form of sonic light manipulated experience. You know, if you look at our entertainment on Earth, everything is using light and sound and manipulating it in a way to create experience. But even though we're trying to shift our mood and make ourselves happy and shift and manipulate our sensations, it just ends up creating more of a bondage, because we're putting all of the focus on the lower chakras and the lower physical carnal self. And again, we have lost the keys to, the lost cord. You've heard about the lost cord. We've lost that living word, that cord, and the connection with it that would give us a conscious transcendental experience. So we can go to all the light shows and all the concerts and all the stuff we want to, but it doesn't shift anything inside us. In fact, if anything, it just keeps us more mired in the lower vibrations. And our films and our television, our computers, these are all just simply technological devices to gather and focus light and sound to, again, give us an entertaining consciousness, captivating experience. And, we create these things because we want to do something that will enable us to forget the entrapment that we feel being in a physical body that's locked in time, that's subject to pain, that comes under the fall. And we keep trying to distract ourselves from that, or to get out of the world, to get out of the awareness of the world that we believe we're trapped in. However, our technology has no power to transform our consciousness permanently, because that alone is a domain of divine spirit. Now, here are some of the ways that people have used to alter or shift their state of consciousness. For example, I'm sure you remember as a child twirling around until you got so dizzy you fell down. That's one of the ways that we shift consciousness when we're a child. I remember when I was a little kid, I would close my eyes and look real hard into my third eye. And when I did that, I would see the third eye open like a little camera lens, and I would see purple and blue and white flashing behind my eyelids. And that was like my little world that I would go into. Or if I would rub my eyeballs, sometimes it would cause different patterns and things to appear behind my eyelids. So those are things I learned when I was really, really young. The whirling dervishes whirl to transcend physical awareness and to go into soul consciousness. And I thought you might find it interesting to know what the different things that they have in their body mean. They have those tall hats, those fezes that they wear. That represents a tombstone. Yeah. They consider their bodies dead to the world. And so they put that hat on, which represents a tombstone. And then the wide skirt represents the galaxies, the whirling galaxies. The soul is like the great central sun. And they twirl around, representing how we orbit, our life orbits God. And then they have one hand, the left hand is down, and the right hand is up. The right hand is receiving the transmissions from the heavenly realms, and the left hand is conveying them to Earth. So they take the position of the divine dancer that is bestowing, that is bringing the kingdom of heaven upon earth. Very, very beautiful symbology. Now, children go into altered states through many, many ways. You'll remember them, I'm sure. Cloud gazing, gazing into a campfire or fireplace, looking into a blizzard or snowstorm, or the falling rain, listening to the sound of the birds and the falling rain, or I used to like to lie on my tummy and look down into the grass and pretend like I was a teeny tiny little person living in a grass forest. And sometimes I'd pretend like I was an ant, and I would go down with the ants into their little house down into the ground. I had all these different things that I, as a child, growing up as an only child, I had all of these wonderful things I used to fantasize and to play. So children go quite easily into altered states. Today, they go into altered states through watching television, playing video games, doing the Wii, or other cyber space interactives. And I remember also going into altered states swinging on my swing. I would, look up into the sky and pretend like I could fly. That's another thing. Children very often have flying dreams or fantasize about flying because in your spiritual body, naturally, you can fly. And they love things like Superman or those kind of stories where you're taken off on a mystical beast, a unicorn or dragon or something, and you're flying through the air. We all love that as children. And all of those things lead you into soul travel or altered states. Many adults also enjoy getting caught up in these same things that I've just mentioned. And they also get caught up in sports or doing sports or watching others. They get so caught up that they lose all sense of everything and they're just in that game and puts them in the zone. Another is, I think maybe the amusement park. You know, why do we go on things like those real scary and high roller coasters? Well, because it pumps the adrenaline and it releases certain endorphins and other hormones and chemicals in our neurological system that produces pleasure and excitation and pumps us. You know, you get pumped doing that. So anything that one does that requires a sustained focus of attention can serve effectively as a means of altering your consciousness. Throughout time, shamans and medicine men and women have used drumming and incantation and ceremonial dancing and masks and ceremonial garments. There's a whole, all of these, every indigenous culture has their traditions that involve some form of light and sound and dance and vocalization to either evoke different levels of spirit or to call themselves into altered states. And of course they have concocted since the beginning of time and ingested hallucinogenic herbs, potions, and used all manner of substances to shift their state of consciousness and to enter what has often been called the crack between the worlds. And what is that crack between the worlds? The crack is actually an interdimensional space. It's like a network that it's an etheric web that stands between the dense physical plane and the plane just beyond that, which would be the astral physical plane. So when you enter the crack between the worlds, you go into the realm of what's been called the Nagual, which is your etheric double or your astral double. And you can enter into that world. It is not a state of God realization or self-realization. It's not freedom. It's not emancipation. You're just going into a different and more subtle dimension of the Earth planet itself. But it's experiential, and people like to go there, so those that can do. This has also been, this is also a way that people sometimes astral project. And astral projection is where the astral body, the imaginative body, through imaginative stimulation, is able to project and externalize from the physical. The only problem is you can only go into the astral plane. You can't actually go anywhere else but the astral plane. So it's confining. It's different from soul travel, which allows you to go anywhere. When you're astral projecting, you always see a silver cord coming out of your umbilical region. It's kind of like your umbilical cord when you're attached to your mother. So your astral silver cord attaches you to your physical body. And those of you, for example, if you saw the film with Shirley MacLaine or read her books, she describes a very good astral projection where she's traveling in the astral body and she saw her silver cord. So the 1960s really saw a radical shift in consciousness. I think that's when people really got tired of living this boring life that the 40s and 50s and the Second World War and everything was just so hard on everyone, that we saw a whole radical shift in consciousness as people not only discovered there was more, but they created a situation where they could explore that more, which for most of them meant dropping out and taking drugs, which I never did, but many, many people did do. But many of the experiences that they had, I've had through not drugs, but through meditation and through creating for myself multidimensional experiences. So nearly every culture on Earth has found a way to distill grains and fruits and create alcoholic beverages. Now, while drugs lock you into the astral plane and actually densify your body so it's very difficult for you to go higher, they actually trap you more here. Alcohol actually enables an out-of-body experience to occur. But again, it's into the realm of the pink elephants. It's into the lower astral realm, which, you know, you aren't going very far. But again, people throughout the ages want to shift their consciousness, and that's been some of the ways that they've done it. Then we have aphrodisiacs. These can also produce such a heightened physical excitation of sensation that one becomes caught up and lost in it, as it were. And there again, you have, people are going to do what they can do to escape the misery of being locked in a physical body in time and space. It's just what we do as, human beings. So anything that produces this adrenaline rush, such as bungee jumping or skydiving or shooting the whitewater rapids or skiing or auto racing, motorcycles. In fact, any daredevil activity can create an addictive, altered state. And that's where you see people, they just got to do that. I mean, that's how they get high. That's how they get their jollies. And so they get addicted to these things. You can also increase your endorphins through exercising, running, and romance. Romance is, we're all addicted to that. Acupuncture, yoga, and holding pressure points on the body, sometimes called polarity balancing, also are ways to alter your consciousness. Acupuncture, actually a really good acupuncturist can stimulate dormant past life memory just by the placement of needles. Certain nerves that have become, for whatever reason, inactive can be re-stimulated by acupuncture, which is the correct placement of very, very thin little needles into certain areas of the body. It's an ancient oriental technique, which I've had a lot of acupuncture. It's really quite wonderful. Yoga, the different positions of the body activate different states of consciousness. And there's all different kinds of yoga. I'm talking about Hatha yoga right now. And Hatha Yoga activates, and depending on how your, you know, the different mudras, the different positions of your hands, the different positions that you hold yourself in called asanas, every single one of those open you to a certain altered state of consciousness. As a whole science of body posture, which aligns with certain states of divine awareness. They've made a complete science of this, which goes back thousands and thousands of years. Some say 10, 11,000 years is how old yoga is. Likewise, Chuukha is a Mongolian form of massage that is deep tissue massage, kind of like Rolfing, that as you massage down in line with the skeletal structure, you release trauma. And the Mongolians would use Chuukha to release trauma that was lodged in the muscles from, you know, being warriors engaging in battle. That's how they kept their bodies clear. And acupressure, acupuncture, polarity, holding polarity points, touch for health. There's many, many different forms of manipulating the body. Rolfing, of course, that releases where you've stored stress, tension, karma, trauma, and so forth. So there's a whole science of working with the physical body alone that can shift consciousness rather dramatically. There's been much neuropsychiatric research being done, I think, since probably the 60s, by simulating experience by means of stimulating portions of the brain with electrodes and observing the effects that's produced through CAT scans. So they can really, they found the God spot. There's a spot in the brain which is stimulated. You're going to find this interesting, you Pentecostals. There are two endorphins that are released only through speaking in tongues. It's an amazing thing. And when these endorphins are released, it stimulates the thymus and the will to live. And we're always told that the Holy Spirit is the resurrection life principle that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, when we speak in the Holy Spirit language through tongues, glossalia, we stimulate those endorphins that increase longevity and health. And they make you, they give you energy, vitality, longevity, and they keep refilling your cup, you know, so you don't deplete yourself energetically. And that's one of those things that happens, you know, when you use your spiritual consciousness in the way it's designed to be used. Let's see, what else can I think of here? Well, both chemicals and hormone therapies have been used for a long time to stimulate or sedate states of consciousness. And we're getting more and more sophisticated in our use of these things. And today, with our technology, we're able to observe pretty minutely how the consciousness shifts when we add things like certain hormones or chemicals into the psychological states. There's a whole range of hemi-sync audio-visual equipment that's available now that's designed to both access and balance and unify the whole brain function. It's another thing that's very interesting. And since the 1960s especially, people have been creating concerts and other gatherings where loud music and bright flashing colored lights have been used to create a mood. We have the waves, and we have the light and sound shows, and the rock concerts, and all of that. And, you know, whenever you have a consciousness change on the planet, it's invariably preceded by new music that comes in. There's always a new sound that conveys a new consciousness. And the new sound that came in that really started the whole change, I think, came in with Elvis Presley and the Beatles. And there was just a whole wave, you know, Simon and Garfunkel. There was just a whole wave, and the Mamas and the Papas. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people who brought in the keynotes of this new Aquarian consciousness that we are now manifesting today. And I think that's interesting. In fact, there was a wonderful book I read when I was in college called Music Through the Ages by Sir Cyril Scott. I believe he was a theosophist. But he tracked the major composers throughout time, and the consciousness that followed the introduction of their music. And in every case, you had one of these outstanding musicians, and then a whole shift in the consciousness paradigm that followed the introduction of their music. So today, I think we have to keep our ears open for those very special musicians that are sounding the keynote of the world that we are moving into, the post-2012 world that we will increasingly be greeting. So along with transcendental incubation, let's say, there are many techniques imported from the East who have been masters of consciousness. We in the West have kind of mastered technology and commerce. But in the East, they have focused their full attention in many cultures upon the technology of consciousness. And so you have, for example, you have Qigong, Tai Chi, Feng Shui, Buddhist and Hindu meditation practices. You have the repetition of the divine names of God called japa or rosaries. You have mantras, which is, again, rhythmic incantations of divine names and divine statements. You have fire rituals. You have fire walking. You have going to the gurus and other spiritual beings who reside in transcendental states and having their darshan, which means their blessings. You have the martial arts. You have advanced yogic pranayama, which is breathing techniques, and asanas, which are the poses. And you have the whole Vedic science of Gandharva music. Gandharva music, again, and Karnataka music, and South Indian music. I mean, there's many musical traditions in India, and there's a whole Nada Shastra in India, which is a sacred scripture devoted to the science of music, how it relates to consciousness. And in the Gandharva system, music is played in harmony with the different times of day, so that you have the optimum sound tapestry to which you attune your day and your life cycle, and you go to sleep and you awaken with a sound tapestry that supports you in being the best, most attuned possible instrument. And then tantric sexual practices are practiced in where you don't just give yourself over to unconscious lust, but you channel the sexual acts so it becomes a form of yoga and worship. It's very, very intense and very beautiful way to express yourself sexually, so that too becomes a way of joining more consciously with God, both within yourself and within your partner and together. So all of these things produce shifts into altered states of consciousness. Now in the 70s and 80s, we had the human potential movement, which just took off here in the West. I think it started with Esalen and the Big Sur. The Big Sur is that beautiful stretch of highway between south of San Francisco and north of Los Angeles. There's a beautiful area called the Big Sur, which is right along the Pacific Coast Highway, where you go up really high and you look down these cliffs and you can see the ocean. There was a very advanced consciousness think tank, I suppose you could call it, called Esalen, where they had the first human potential trainings. And then you had Esalen, you had EST, Werner Erhard's work, EST, you had LifeSpring, you had Forum, had different trainings coming out of that. And the one that I was personally involved with, where I was working on staff with them before I started this work full-time, I was on staff with them until 1988, was called Insight Transformational Seminars. Now, today it's called Insight Seminars. And that was started in 1978 by John Roger, my spiritual teacher, and Russell Bishop, one of his students. And it was possible in a 3 to 4 day insight training, I kid you not, to experience self and God realization and to permanently alter your consciousness. I say that because that's exactly what I experienced. I went into Bhava Samadhi and saw very clearly in those two trainings that what kept me blocked from knowing myself and what the secret was to release my divine potential. So I am forever grateful for Insight Trainings because it was the best gift I ever had given to me. So today, there is more focus, I think, upon conscious life in this world, you know, more conscious business practices, the creative management and moving of money and finance. In fact, I believe we're getting more in touch with the science behind success and the principles of personal excellence. And that would have to be coming as a result of the human potential movement, because I remember back in the 80s, we had time design management systems, managing accelerated performance trainings. We had relationship trainings. We had every kind of a training you could imagine to help us to function with more conscious spiritual awareness in the everyday world and in our everyday relationships. So we were putting the spiritual into a beautiful setting to which that spiritual self that we are could be moved out into the world and be a transformative process in the world and in the workplace. So there are principles that we're discovering that will ultimately transform every area of our lives, you know, and I believe that this is part of what will be the technology of light, because again, we're using consciousness techniques, and consciousness being the same as light, and consciousness and light being the same as illumination and enlightenment. You see, we're moving into higher consciousness by being more accountable and more proactive and aware in how we live our lives. Now, be aware that each chakra center in your body is a dimensional portal into another realm of existence. The majority of people, and you're going to really see this, the majority of people live lives conditioned by their three lower chakras, which are security, sensation, and power. Look how this relates so much with where people are today on the planet. Your first chakra is at the base of the spine, and it's the security survival chakra. And the predominant emotion out of that chakra is fear. Fear of lack and loss. The second chakra, which is just below your navel, is the sensation chakra. And it presides over, I would say, the lust for pleasure, which would involve the sexual, the eating, drinking, sleeping, pleasure, anything that's physically exciting and pleasurable in terms of your lower feelings, not your higher emotions, but your lower base feelings, your lower self, in other words. Lust for pleasure would be the negative here, the negative tendency of that chakra. Like the whole pornography industry is based on that one. Then you have the third chakra, the solar plexus, which is power. And here you have control, competition, personal authority, the ego, you know, just running amok. And this is presided in its negative aspect by greed for more. You know, there's never enough. When you're power hungry, you know, you don't care what you have to do to get more power, more control. You'll manipulate, you'll do crime, you'll do anything. Now, security, sensation, and power put people who are living out of those levels in the category of animal man. They're not really human at that point. They're living a sub-human life. So, you know, doesn't that describe pretty much what we see in the world today in terms of politics and economy and our entertainment, commerce? Almost everything is, you know, security, sensation, and power. You don't see hardly anything that's truly uplifting and promoting of the divinity. So the goal for the masses of humanity is actually just to move up to the fourth chakra, which would be the human heart. I'm not talking about the spiritual heart here, but the human heart. And the first sign that you're a really human being is that you have empathy. You have the ability to put yourself in another's shoes. And the first expression of that empathy would be goodwill. So that's our hope for the masses, you know, of humanity, is to move up to the fourth chakra. The fifth chakra, or throat chakra, would be the center for advanced humanity, which is very much what we're talking about tonight. It's conscious creative expression, self-actualization, self-responsibility, you know, responsibility for what you create and put in motion, and the urge to service. So that's why we're having this seminar tonight, is because it's important that people who listen to this type of seminar are able to stabilize their consciousness in conscious creative expression. So today, the way to create conscious multidimensional experience basically is, I would say, through what the Buddhists would call mindfulness. We have to be mindful of what we are doing, you know, not just go unconscious or on automatic. And to practice the observer or the witness consciousness, as I often speak of. Eckhart Tolle would call it practicing the now, you know, staying in the present, staying in the now. And being present with whatever you're doing is very important, because if you're not present with what you're doing, you're not conscious. So stay conscious and stay present. Do your best. Keep your loving present and remember God. And that's the major yogic practice for today. You know, do your best, remember God, love it all. Simple, huh? Or not. So your foundation that you need to build in order to be fully grounded, and, you know, you have to be conscious here in this dimension. And then you can set aside some time each day to work with moving in and out of other levels of awareness. That's when you meditate or you do your spiritual exercises. Now, some of you are so multidimensional that you have no idea how to ground and anchor yourself here. And if you're not grounded here, you will not be able to operate with full spiritual empowerment and authority. So it's very important to be able to anchor yourself The easiest way to do that is service to others in an area that you really enjoy working in. That is the best way to ground your energies. Your loving is actually what causes you to be fully present. And an easy way to remember that is when love is not present, neither are you. You are love. You are God's love. So when you're not expressing love, then you're not in your body. You're gone. You're somewhere else, but you're not present. That is why love is so powerful. Love will actually cause you to manifest your most divine fullness. It'll call it forward. It'll evoke it, and it'll come present. And when you're able to transform, you know, that conditioned, personal, needy love to divine, unconditional love, then you're truly manifesting God's heart and God's kingdom upon earth. You know, people want that kind of love, but you know what the price of that love is? I call it the yoga of the broken heart, because it seems like that path, and that's certainly been the path I've walked in this lifetime, is that you love and lose and love and get disappointed and love and get rejected over and over until you learn, I think by aversion therapy, what not to do if you don't want to get hurt. And the answer is not to close down. It's not to refuse to love, because that closing down hurts more than being jilted. So you can't close down. That's denial of truth and who you are. So you need to keep present and observe your process as you're in your romantic patterns and in the dynamics that you have in your daily life, and allow love itself to teach you how to love without personal neediness, you know, without personal agenda. Let love be your teacher. So your heart, beloved, is always multidimensional. It's always cosmic. That's its nature. Because your heart is a cell in God's heart. Think of your heart as a cell in the heart of God. And that is why your heart and your relationship with God is so intrinsically interwoven. And that is why your spiritual life begins when you open your heart fully to God. You have to enter spiritual life by inviting God to, you know, take over, to be in you and to live through you. So that's why when you love God first, then all else is added unto you. That's what is so, so wonderful to realize, that once you have taken care of the most important thing you possibly can, everything else is added up to you, is added unto you. So I think that probably is what we need to focus on now for this evening, as you continue with the seminar during the week, because we work with you throughout the whole week on that particular topic, whatever it is that we presented. Just practice experiencing how you can consciously choose to shift your consciousness. A simple one. If you're feeling depressed, observe that when you're depressed, you don't want to, number one, talk to people. You don't want to get dressed up. You don't want to go out. You're just in the blahs. So to counteract depression, do exactly what you don't want to do. Get up, put on your best clothes, call somebody on the phone, make an appointment to go out to dinner, go to a movie, go walk your dog in the park, but don't stay in your house. Get out and move your body. That's how you shift yourself out of the mood of depression, and you take charge of directing yourself in a positive way. And whatever you find yourself in a negative state, find the opposite of that and direct yourself consciously into that higher state. Have fun with it. You know, have fun with it. And watch how when you're thinking of a place, you automatically go there in your mind. That isn't imagination. You actually soul traveled, because your soul, again, is your consciousness. You actually soul traveled. You know, if you think of, like I'm doing right now, I'm thinking of New Delhi, India. Man, I'm right there. I'm smelling the exhaust from the auto rickshaws. I'm hearing the sound of the horns blaring. I'm feeling that cold, misty fog that they have there. I'm there. I'm in New Delhi. Now, if you want to know the secret of soul transcend, excuse me, bilocation, if I wanted to bilocate, I'd have to put my full attention in being there and then move every level of my awareness to where being there was more real to me than being where I am right now in California. That's the secret of bilocation. But most of us hold ourselves back because of some attachment we have where we are. But if you can learn that as a major key, to be fully wherever you place your consciousness, you will have practiced the first step in learning how to consciously bilocate, which enables you to transcend time and space and to be present wherever you focus your consciousness. That's how Sai Baba does all the things he does. So that's what we're here to learn and to practice. So, again, you can spend the rest of your evening aboard ship. You don't have to come back unless you want to. If you want to come back, all you have to do is remember where you're sitting and you're back instantly. If you want to stay aboard ship, then just place your consciousness back aboard ship and have a beautiful evening with the rest of us and enjoy your time with us sailing throughout the galaxies. And we'll go out chanting Anai Hu. Again, the Anai Hu opens your heart and creates a sense of empathy and connection. Deep breath. And the Ashtar Galactic Command sends its love and its blessings to all who are here on Earth assignment and to all humanity. May all the beings of all the worlds have peace and joy and happiness. May all awaken to their full divine potential. And may the glory of God cover the planet Earth, even as the waters cover the sea. Blessings and grace and love to all. And God willing, we will be with you same time next week. Adonai.